episode 205 of Fans of Power. I'm Nathan Kennedy, and as always, joined here by the loser of the Bean Boozled Jelly Bean Challenge, the man of mystery himself, Joe Amato. Joe, how's it going?
Yeah, that wasn't good last week. That was bad. I held up through it. I mean, I didn't hold up well, but after the podcast, I did throw up. But in case people are wondering, why is Joe wearing this other mask? It's because I had to rip up and get rid of that old Modulok mask. It was bad. It smelled like all them rotten beans, those stink bugs. And I couldn't print out a new one because my car took a crap, and it's still in the shop. Hopefully it'll be out tomorrow. I don't know, but I've been without a vehicle for X amount of days, so I couldn't go get new ink to do printing for a lot of stuff. So that's why I got this one, just temporarily. Otherwise, everything's okay.
Otherwise, we GoFundMe. We need to just set that up and get Joe squared away, pay his bills, get his car back on the road, etc.
Yeah, I'll be paying off credit cards for a long time, but that's okay. But before we start getting to a lot of topics, first let me just say hello to everybody that's here in the chat room. Got JSP, Zentron, Adam Gabbert, Papa Hood 69, Michael Purvis, Gary Buchanan, and I think I got everybody. If I missed anybody, I apologize.
Yeah, we'll see. And also, I was going to say, we'll see how the room fills up because we are edging closer and closer to Christmas. So everyone's probably going out shopping and WWE's TLC's on tonight, which I popped into that.
Oh, there's a pay-per-view? Yeah, I didn't even know there was a pay-per-view.
Yeah,
really?
I popped into it for a little bit and I was just like, I'm kind of bored.
Yeah, I didn't even know they had. Well, that's weird. Didn't even know. And what's up, Grimbot and Von Ratliff is also here. And Fedmon. So we got some people. And like I said, if we miss anybody, when we come to the question and answer part of the show, which will be later, I'll make sure I get everybody. But, and you're right. Usually around the holidays, sometimes around Christmas, that's when usually sometimes it will get a little quiet. Because you're right, people are doing things with holidays or their family. And you know, like I said, doing shopping. So I can completely understand. But I'm going to open something first. It's from our buddy right here, Adam Gabbert. So he sent me something. I haven't opened yet. I said I'd open it live on the show. And it's a fucking meat drop. God damn it. I was going to say I wasn't going to cuss the whole show. Yeah, you still there? Am I here?
You say that every week. Yeah, you're upside down now. Wait, no, there
what
we
the
go.
Hell? Everything's
no,
black.
I don't know. Did you break it? Did we lose Joe Amato? This will be a first for the show. I think we lost Joe Amato. Hey, maybe we should just start the show over again. This is definitely a first. Well, maybe Joe will pop back in here. I don't know what's going on. But Adam Gabbert also sent me a card as well. I'll hold it up right here. Left a nice little message inside and said that he got these off of Amazon. So you might have to look. And there's an incoming call from Joe Amato. Maybe, but I don't think anyone here can see you or even hear you. Yeah, it's pretty great. I don't know. Let me try something here, because you guys can't hear Joe. We might actually have to start the show over again, or I'll just leave it. Actually, it'll probably just work better like this. I'll give Joe a call back, and maybe we can get him on screen again. Here's open. It's not showing up in here. So Joe has officially screwed up the show, so I'm going to stop the stream and I guess restart it. So we'll see you in a few. It's going to be good stuff, Joe.
I guess so.
I might be able to clip out the thing there. Just gotta I think we're back. I think there we go. Hey, we're back. I'm just gonna have to go in and just trim that a little bit and get rid of that. Joe, you broke everything.
God, and everybody that was here just left. Oh, I feel fucking horrible. I'm going to try not to rarely move at all. Damn it. So everybody that I missed, sorry about that, but god damn, what are the odds of that?
You broke it.
Thanks, Adam Gabbert. No. I'm going to hold this away from me so it does not touch the fucking cord. He sent a Christmas card. I opened it. There's a picture of He-Man with a candy cane of power. Yeah. I invented that, by the way. And, three Rubik's Cube stickers. Thank you. And it says, hello, Joe. I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas from me, your friend, Adam. P.S. You are probably wondering where I got this He-Man holiday card. Well, I found it on Amazon.com website. He said, hope you like it. This card for me. Please share this with Nathan on the Fans of Power podcast as necessary. Take care. I sure did, Adam. I shared it, and I fucked the whole show up. No, thanks, Adam. That's real nice of you. What about you, Nathan?
Oh, yeah. No, I was showing it off while I was trying to get you back in here and let everyone know that he got those off of Amazon. So if you're able to and want some, maybe you can pop over there and order them. You guys should have heard Joe. He felt incredibly bad the entire time because I'm like, yeah, Joe, I don't see you on here.
I did. I mean, I was like, there I go. I just ruined the fucking show. And I was even, you know what's funny? Sorry about that, but I was going to say, you know what? I'm going to go the whole show and not curse. I was going to be fine. But this is the only time it happens. When this stuff happens, when I drop stuff, that's the only time I lose it. Otherwise, I'm never cursing on the show. I don't think. Yeah, but
it happens. Well, it happens. And I said, I can go in here, pick out that little bit because I didn't hit end stream on here. Because once we got you back in, I'm like, we can just get back in the flow, so I'll look at it when it's done, and I'll fix it. We'll make it work.
Well, I'm glad you were able to get this back on this stream, because I thought there was going to be another link. We're going to lose everybody, which we lost a lot of people already. Hopefully they come back. You know, sorry again about that. Because Grandpa's like, what's going on? Yeah, that's what happens when Joe drops the tablet, and it just all went off and went nuts.
Yeah.
But, yeah, thanks, Adam Gabbert. It's a cool card, and it led to a nice blackout moment.
Right. So, a first for the show. We've had technical difficulties before, but nothing quite like that. So, right. Good times.
So, but everybody that joined and I missed, I mean, thanks for joining us. Like I said, I'll get you all later. But before we get into some of the topics with Escape from the Slime Pit, some of the recent news, and I don't know if you guys would know anything about this, but on Super 7's page, I mean, first Super 7, I think they said that the William Stout collection is supposed to be coming in like soon, anytime, and shipping.
Yeah, like
so
a couple weeks, they said everybody, they were going to be shipping those things out. So I'm waiting to and excited to get that email. Because I'm ready to have those in hand, get a nice little movie display going on off to the side over here. Because it's been far too long.
It has. So hopefully it comes and everything's good with those. But also they announced something. I think it was December 10th. They were going to start doing something called It said on their one page. It said beginning tomorrow are the Super 7 Days of Christmas. Over the next 7 days, we will drop 7 brand new releases or new items that have not been available online before. So on the 11th, they did a Toxic Avenger. And on the 12th, they did Archie. The 13th, Alien. 14th, Slayer figure. 15th was Japanese Vinyls and Peanuts. But to say tomorrow is, and I'm not going to say MOTU out loud,
MOTU.
It's Masters of the Universe.
It's a MOTU surprise from Super 7.
Is a Masters of the Universe Monday. So I don't know what that's going to be. I know last year they did I'm going to say Christmas He-Man. I'm not going to say Holiday He-Man because that is Christmas He-Man. That's how he looked in the Christmas special back then, as they called it. I'm not saying Holiday. So Christmas He-Man they had last year. So I don't know if this year, are they going to do Skeletor in some Christmas outfit? Or are they going to do somebody else? I don't know what they're going to try to do, but it'll be interesting. Even though I know maybe they're going to say in their version that Christmas He-Man, maybe it wasn't really based off of the Christmas special. It was just their own vision because it was slightly different. It didn't really look like the cartoon, but maybe that's just their way.
Hopefully.
I say, because
I was going to say, hopefully it's not some lazy half-assed variation of something that they've already put out. You know, maybe it'll be something ultimately neat. And I want to throw out there to the guys that have these dozens and dozens of Masters groups that we're a part of. Let's make it a thing. Hashtag MOTU Monday. I'm down. Let's do it. Let's make it a thing. Let's piss Joe off because he hates it when you say it. MOTU. MOTU, MOTU, MOTU.
I hate it. And first, let me say, for any holiday, when it's Hanukkah, I'll tell somebody Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Happy Kwanzaa, yeah. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. I'm going to announce every holiday when it is. I'm going to say that. I don't think it's offensive to say that to anybody, even if they don't celebrate.
Yeah, to me it's not, but I think it is an easier way if you say Happy Holidays. It includes everybody. You're not...
It's just like, it's a greeting. You're doing it out of respect just to be, you know, a cheerful and festive. And that's the only reason, you know, we say that. It's not ever to offend, but still, that He-Man is actually Santa Claus He-Man. It's a Christmas He-Man.
Yeah.
But, well, besides that, and see, now you got people doing the MOTU in the in the chat room. I just, like I say, you know, because people are pronouncing M-O-C out loud, you know, mint on card, but they're pronouncing M-O-C. I'm like, well, where does it end? Are they going to pronounce M-I-B MIB and M-I-P MIP? Are they going to pronounce everything? That's just a pet peeve. What if you guys do what I like?
To be fair, I always used to say NES or SNES, and some people say NES and SNES. So it's your cup of tea, but I like MOTU. Hashtag MOTU Mondays. Just make that a thing in all the groups. Post your favorite picture of your favorite character, or take a picture of like your collection. Hashtag MOTU Mondays. Make it a thing.
And I say,
let's make Joe angry again.
Why are you doing it? And even with the video games, I've never said NES or NES. I've said Nintendo, and I said Super Nintendo. I've never did these abbreviations, but we're going to get off that. So, we'll have to see what they're going to have tomorrow. And I'm sure it'll probably just be a figure. They're just going to give probably a Christmas hat on and some Christmas colors. Yeah. But either way, it'll be interesting to see what they do. So those are these, I think, the couple recent things. The other thing to go into, and I don't understand, and I hope it would never reach Masters of the Universe, because if the movie ever gets made, which, remember, that was supposed to be shooting way back in, what, April or May of this year? I don't know. I've lost track. But I hope it wouldn't suffer what Wonder Woman has suffered. Apparently, Wonder Woman, in her new movie that'll be coming out, she's not going to have her sword, and she's not going to have a shield. I guess they find it too aggressive. Or, you know, consider it aggressive for her to have a sword, and it's, like, too much or too violent. It's like, but do people know what these things are? Do they know that these things, these cartoons, these comics, these things with superheroes, that's exactly what they are, superheroes. They're not supposed to be like us. They're beyond our expectations of what a man, a woman, and obviously all these alien creatures and powers. It's things that don't exist. But a sword, you know, we've had swords for since the beginning of time when they started being able to make fucking metal into something. But what's the issue? Like, I mean, do they really think that people, whether it's guys or girls, are going to pick up a sword and try to stab their friends after watching Wonder Woman? I mean, God, when we watched He-Man back in the day with the sword, we didn't want to do that. Hell, even Conan, where he is killing people with a sword, I never had the urge to think, you know what, I want to take this sword and shove it right through my fucking cousin. That was never in my head, so I hope this wouldn't infest He-Man, but go ahead.
I like how Joe went from, I'm not going to curse at all, to, well, it's all out the window. Which I'm fine with. This show isn't exactly meant for children. Anyway, this is the first I'm kind of hearing anything about this. I watched the Wonder Woman trailer, was kind of to it, because that's the way comic book movies are with me now these days. Is this confirmed that there's no...
No, I think it was confirmed because I think Gal Gadot said that. But, you know, like JSP said, yeah, she does have her lasso and her braces, you know, bracers, which are cool. But, I mean, it's always good to have these other options. But they decided,
it's hard to tell. It could be a thing of anywhere if they want to prove a point with something, or they're like, oh, well, let's just go at it from a different angle. And what story can we tell that doesn't involve some of the core things of the character? I don't know, Joe. Maybe it is that part of like the violence issue. I remember Secret of the Ooze with TMNT 2. There you go, another little abbreviation for you, Joe. That the parents felt that the first one was too violent and too dark, so with the second movie they didn't use their weapons. They found other means to fight people. So maybe that's part of it.
I never knew that. They're kids.
Yeah.
Really?
Who knows? It could be a variety of things. All I know is I probably won't watch it. I still haven't even seen the first Wonder Woman, because those DC movies are just turds, man.
I liked it. I've seen the first Wonder Woman. I mean, I've heard good things.
It's just I still haven't even watched Avengers Endgame. I just can't bring myself to do it. And I have Disney Plus, so I could just go in there right now and just go watch it if I want to. But, nah.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Well, I just, like I said, I would hope it wouldn't, like, you know, transition into Masters if they ever thought, let's do the movie. And they're like, hey, let's get rid of the whole sword and the transformation gimmick. Maybe he can just shout, by the power of Grayskull, like, you know, when the other guy, Billy Batson or whatever, says, Shazam! Maybe he'll say, by the power of Grayskull, just, and bam, in turn. Hmm. I could just see them doing some nonsense. They're like, well, why does he need to use the sword? It's like, still, I mean, the cartoon used it. Yes, he used it to kill people. And yes, in the Sunbird Legacy book back in the day, he did slash a, you know, snake's head off. But you figure they'll make, you know, like, expendable cannon fodder like they did the Masters of the Universe movie with the, you know, those troopers where he's slashing to use them. Otherwise, he had the gun or just use his strength. But I'm just saying, if a He-Man movie ever happens, which it ain't going to, but if it did, please don't get rid of his sword and bring in this nonsense. Because the thing is, it's just like how we were always raised. Our parents would tell us right from wrong, fiction from reality. And as long as you teach your kids what's really happening, what's real, you should be good. But don't just say, okay.
There's no, Joe, there's no, people don't have time to discipline their kids and raise them right these days, don't you know?
No,
just,
definitely.
Just put a phone in front of their face. They'll be fine.
And that's it. Like, here you go. Go away. Here's $5. Go get something to eat. Or what am I saying? That nowadays it's probably, here's $20. I don't even know what they give kids nowadays.
I don't either.
But hopefully the next Wonder Woman movie will be good, because Gal Gadot did say that this movie would be for everyone, just as JSP said in the chat room. And I like hearing that. I like hearing when you say you're not just going to target this group or that group or this age bracket or that one. It's like she says, it's for everybody. Yeah. And that's good to hear. She can, you know, carries herself really well in interviews and what she does. And yeah, she done a great job. It's, so I'm hoping this next Wonder Woman is great.
It's good to hear, but I feel like at the end of the day, the one group that'll probably ultimately be alienated is the hardcore fan base.
Well, yeah. Like you said,
that's the way the ship is being steered right now. Like, there's big bucks and all the nerdy shit that we got made fun of when we were kids, and now it's,
I would have thought that like, yeah, some of the biggest and the most highest grossing movies are all these fiction movies, and most of them based off all the stuff we grew up with. You know, who would have thought that day would come back then? We were made fun of as, like you said, being dorks, geeks, nerds for liking this stuff. And now it's pop culture and everybody wants a piece of the pie. And I think that's it. Since they're wanting a piece of pie and don't know what this stuff was about and what it means to fans, they're just throwing in their ideas and what they think. Yeah. Hey, this will be good, because they were raised on reality TV shows. They don't know imagination and fantasy. So that's why the shit usually gets watered down and turned into crap most of the time.
Yeah, so we'll see how that ultimately affects the Masters movie that probably isn't going to get made.
Sure ain't going to get made. But if you want to talk about something that's good, we're going to talk about this comic right here. And Nathan, I don't know if this was your first time reading it, because I love your first impression. But
impression? My first impression?
In your impression, I don't know. Just got somehow an accent there. But go on, Nathan. What you think of this?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and we'll move this over. This was my first time checking out this comic. And once again, apologies to those of you if this has been covered before. I kind of backtracked and looked at the research on everything, and
well, even still, it's revisited.
Joe's got a terrible memory, so I don't know if this comic has been covered before in previous episodes. Not at least in video form that I could see, so maybe back in the days, pre-hangouts and straight up just audio, you guys may have covered this. But kind of mixed opinions on it. I love the art, and I love the build-up to it, but it just seems like towards the end, I'm like, oh, that's the best you could come up with. Okay,
that's kind of, yeah, like the climax. But if anything, I think it's Jim Mitchell and Bruce Timm that did, well, Jim Mitchell I think did the pencil art, Bruce Timm did the inking and everything, and Charles Simpson, oh god, I'm gonna feel bad if I forgot his name, I think Charles Simpson did the coloring, because you can't forget the colorists.
Well,
too,
Joe, they, you know, if you just open up
what the hell, I just lost my thing, hold on,
a lot, he show's going down, oh, don't, he's going down the crapper. Just don't knock anything over.
Hold on. Okay, what were you saying, Nathan? Because my thing came out of my
ear. I was going to say, just don't throw your hands out and knock your tablet over again.
Yeah, exactly.
Be horrible. I was going to tell you, Joe, just open up the book and it'll tell you everybody that worked on it.
Oh, well, I mean, oh, yeah, shit, I do have it right in front of me.
Okay. You just showed it to the camera, see?
Isn't that, you're talking about a bad memory. I just showed this, put it up there, forgot everything I did. But, yeah, Charles Simpson did the coloring. But the premise of the story is, yes, Horak has a new invention. all the I fucking lost all. I Joe, can't believe I
Joe
did that.
Joe has completely fallen apart on the show this week. Come on, Joe, get it together. If Tyler, Tyler were here right now, he'd kick your ass. I'm sure somewhere his ears are burning.
Just burning. He'd be like, Nathan, could you just cut Joe off of this show right now? Me and you will handle it. That's how it probably would have been. But, yeah, as you can see from here, yeah, Hordak has a new invention, the slime pit, to where he's going to want to make some slime monsters. And, I, by the way, I just got it. You know, this is it's a different version of Hordak's look. Some fans weren't super, you know, impressed by it. Some really loved it because it's kind of a darker and a weird one, and sometimes he kind of looks old manish in parts, but this is, it's gritty. I like the style of art. I especially love seeing Majulak, you know, looking like this, and I think that was based off of maybe the concept art of what Majulak was going to look like, and I know Grimbach could probably correct me on that, but I'd want you to flip the pages. First, everybody's just looking wicked, from even Grizzlor. Mantenna, not a super fan of that design, I'll be honest. Not a super fan of Mantenna's design.
With Mantenna right there, it seems really plain.
Plain?
Yeah. Plain is the perfect word for that. There's just not a lot of detail compared to everybody else, and it just seems it sticks out way more. But yeah, we'll go ahead and flip over to the next page here. And Joe, I guess I want to ask, because I had some of the Rock People figures as a kid, but I don't really remember much about them other than just having the figure. So what is the general opinion of the fan base of these characters?
Well, they again, unfortunately, the Comet Warriors at a time fell into the same group with, well, because the Meteor Orbs, even the Meteor Orbs, like in story wise they made it seem like, you know, they all came together, you know, to Eternia together. But as for the figures, I loved them back then. I never had a problem with my friends thinking they sucked or anything. But then when I came back into the fandom, when the internet came around, a lot of fans thought they look weird. They look like they don't fit in, like the Energy Zoids. They said they look weird. They don't fit in. So they kind of got ignored. But when Classics brought them in finally, and they did their, you know, work to them and worked their magic, the Four Horsemen, it seemed like more fans finally started embracing them. It was like I always said, I think if all these figures that everybody so-called hated or didn't think they'd like, if they're just all meshed well design-wise and all in one cohesive line, it seems like fans can start thinking, you know, I think they're okay. Like Snout Spout, he fell into that category with like Rio Blast and even Extendar. Some people weren't fans, then they started to like them. But yeah, I never had an issue with them. I loved them. I thought they were just, it was a cool little gimmick. And it was, you know, I mean, it was as in-depth as Transformers of all these moves. It was a simple fold over, pop open, but they still kind of transformed.
Yeah, and that's what I liked them about them a lot as a kid. They didn't do a whole lot, but to me, I liked them. I thought they looked cool, but I just didn't know much about them outside of that because I got those guys secondhand. So the mini comic, I'm assuming, do you know who this mini comic came with? Did it come with
and again, I just opened the suckers when I was a kid. I actually couldn't even remember. I'd want to say, hey, you figure they had to come with somebody that was here, you know, maybe, I don't know, but I honestly, I figure maybe a Horde character. That's what somebody in the chat room, I'd like them for know, because I don't collect these things min on card. I opened them when I was a kid, and that was it, and read them. And real quickly, Grimbot did say that Grizzlor and Majulak and Hordak, I guess all the designs for this, and he says safe to say maybe Mantenna was all based on the concept art, because earlier I was saying that I, you know, Majulak definitely was. But no, it's, you know, Mantenna, unfortunately, was like I said, on the one page, it just looked like just there was so much missing. Because what I was going to say is, when I'm looking, like you guys are looking at these pages right here from the next pages, there is more detail, emotion, heart, love, and everything in these just pages, these couple pages, than all the seasons of that new Netflix show. Just had to let that out there, because really, it sucks. There's no detail. This is detail. See, you can have a mouth without having lips for a man. Because they, you know, always want to say, well, you know, how can you get a mouth if you don't have lips? Because I always say, why don't you just give these characters... Oh, no, wait, that's sidetracking. Anyways, yes. But you see, they're basically like, we're going to go. We're going to go get these Comet Warriors. But they don't refer to them Comet Warriors. I think they said Rock... Well, as you see, they said the Rock People. And I like seeing how Grizzlor... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, they're very peaceful people. I did jump to the next pages, but we'll come back to this. It's kind of funny how it's always the peaceful ones that...
Hey, wait! Wait, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think Tyler just tuned in and he said that this came with the slime pit. I just want to make sure if he can double check and correct me, but I think he said this comic book came with the slime pit. So how about that? Isn't that bad? I didn't even know the slime pit had a mini comic. I remember Eternia having, you know, that the Ultimate Battleground mini comic, but didn't even know. So I'm just waiting to see if he corrects me. But
I guess I was gonna ask that, but I didn't know when it came to any of the playsets or vehicles if mini comics came with those or if it was all just exclusively to the figures.
Yeah, if anybody, like I said, I think, yeah, he definitely would know those. I don't have anything carded. But, no, like I said, you see all the, like I said, right here, they show up, bam, they get right into it. And Grizzlor, I love how he just, boom, kind of, not knocks out He-Man, but Grizzlor looks intimidating in this. That's what I like. He's a big-looking dude in this. He knocks He-Man down, slaps that one Comet Warrior to the side, and takes two off. And He-Man, like, shrugs it off to, you know, get going, but I'll wait till you get the next page, but...
Well, it just kind of sucks here, because, like, He-Man's like, hey, I just got it knocked out for a second, why didn't you guys help and fight back? And they're like, oh, well, it's not in our nature to do that, and you could just see it in that next shot right there, where He-Man's just kind of like, man, come on, gotta go save the day again.
Yeah, they're peaceful
people. I think, honestly, right here, this shot over to the left is, like, my favorite shot of the entire mini comic. I just like that vibe of him like walking there like he's ready to go kick some ass, you know?
Yeah. Oh, and what's funny, real quick, I just said, no, I didn't mean to say, but how Tyler said that, Grimbot saying, what are you talking about? Febmon is Tyler? Because I just looked back up and Febmon said it came with the slime pit. Dice says, look at the title. So, hey, you got me, Febmon, but Tyler's message came on this, which I was looking at, because I told you I wasn't able to watch the chat because I said I'd probably get the chat after the
mini comic. Wait, so Tyler messaged you.
Yeah, he messaged me, but it pops up on my tablet that we're doing the show on. So
confirm, Tyler's watching the show, shaking his head, being like, what are they doing?
What he was thinking at the beginning when I dropped this tablet and the show just went off like, what the fuck's going on? But what I like here is you see in these next panels is He-Man basically sacrificing himself to saying, you know what, if you let, you know, my friends go, take me instead. Of course, Hordak's going to take them or take He-Man and keep them as prisoners too. But I love all, again, just look at all the shading, the details, just every little bit on this. It's just so fucking full of emotion, life, everything. I love this art and I miss this. And I miss these stories to where you could get something said in one book. You know, like you said, it kind of quickly goes by, and at the end you said, you know, the ending was not really up to, I guess, your expectations, but it's still a good beginning to middle to end story. But I like what'll happen next, but go ahead, your thoughts when you were seeing this about what He-Man did and, you know, showing, you know, what a hero is about.
Well, it's good, but at the same time he's incredibly stupid, because you never, oh, okay, let him go. Oh, all right, well, you said you were gonna let him go, how dumb are you? Anyway.
And I didn't want to be the ass that thought, you know, and even when I seen the Comet Warriors all tied up, I'm like, God, you guys are super strong. Just bam, just bend over. You know,
which
do your rock
what we
thing,
see,
you know, where
that's kind of the problem I have with it towards the end, is you see them, like, transform into that and start to attack. I'm like, why, you guys could have done that ages ago. But anyway, back to the point that you were talking about with the art and the shading and how much emotion is shown. That's kind of when you asked me to just flip through and pick one. I was going through and I've said it before countless times, is the art is what has always drawn me to this. That's what catches my eye every time. And this mini comic is just chock full of really great images, especially that one. I'll say it again, just the way that they have him moving through there, like he's walking, but the way that the shading is and the background behind him, it's just, you can almost hear like a certain score in your head while you're looking at that image. But yeah, I'll go ahead and we'll flip over to the next page here, where He-Man has been covered in slime and he is now part.
In this, if anybody could understand, I mean, wanted to understand my dislike of the translucent horde zombie He-Man, as they call it. And again, nothing against that for people who love a translucent horde zombie. but it's supposed to be this. That clear, translucent green figure is not this. That's what pisses me off. Look at that. That is frightening. That's a scary, fucking monstrous-looking He-Man that is now evil. And as you see, when he's slimed, he's not turning transparent or invisible or see-through. He is covered, and they even describe it as that. I mean, just listen to the description. It says a green sludge covers He-Man's muscular shoulders, coating his mighty biceps and oozes down his legs. And it's just of this foul, sticky slime, but it's like, just look at the description. Look at his eyes. That's a figure I want. And not to sidetrack, but this is always the most requested custom I get from people, is that Slime Pit He-Man. I think I have made more of him than anything, Santa He-Man being the second probably, but I mean, that's a figure I'd want. I mean, I don't know about you. Again, people can like the translucent one, but if you had a choice, Nathan, I mean, now, this is why also I like your opinion on things. If you have a choice of a translucent green He-Man with no new sculpting, it's just He-Man, yeah, translucent green, and this is your Slime Pit, I mean, what would you want?
I mean, it's pretty obvious. I'm going to go with the translucent figure. No, I'm just kidding. no, you would definitely want something that has, like, more of a texture to it. I could imagine just having one that looks like it's covered in slime, and when you touch it, it feels like any of the Playmates figures when they have been stored away for a while. If you go, like, get your old Ninja Turtles and bring them out of storage and you touch them, they're all, like, sticky because it's just, like, I guess something in the paint that they used.
He-Man has that issue. I didn't even know that. Even some of the old He-Man figures, when you would touch around the legs, they would get real sticky too, but I see what you're saying.
I think if you were to make a figure like that but actually make him sticky, like, oh, man, it really does feel like he's just covered in slime. That would be pretty badass. And I like here on the next page, like after he's covered in the slime, when we get to the next panel over here, it's almost like you can kind of see it starting to like dry on him a little bit, you know? It's starting to get a little crunchy, yeah, right there. At least that's what it looks like in that view. So that's nice little touches that are going on in this mini comic.
No, it is. And like I said, you'll see multiple pictures of this, but when you see, it's shocking when you're seeing your hero now be turned into this monster that Hordak wanted to, you know, create anyways, but now you have the most powerful man in the universe being this monster. It's like, oh shit. And of course, what's he gonna do? He's gonna send him to go take care of Skeletor. And I like the description of when they said, you know, like when he's gonna touch Skeletor, he's gonna drain him of all his power. It's like, wow, there's more to this slime and this monster than we thought. You know, it ain't just turn them into these mindless creatures that are gonna fight for Hordak, but also to drain, defeat his enemies, and, you know, definitely help him conquer Eternia. And down there, there's the pink little comet warrior and a green one. And that pink one, she never had a name. Just a quick little side note. I called her Quartzina, you know, kind of like a pinkish color. And I made a custom about probably 8 years ago. And 5 months later, somebody made a Quartzina, put it on eBay. I messaged the seller. I was like, where did you get that name? And the guy said, well, her name is Quartzina. I was like, no, that's what I called her. He's like, oh, sorry. And then he took the name off the listing. So
kind of, I'm surprised that they actually did that, because most eBay sellers are just like, I don't care what you or anyone else think. This is real and authentic and one of a kind, and I made it, and it's all mine.
Yep. And, you know, and now that we move to the next pages that you're showing right here, I like how the artist did that. The first panel you see there, it's not just like, you know, He-Man walking in green slime like normal. He's hunched over. He looks monstrous, if you see what I mean. They captured, I think, that beautifully.
Yeah, no, you can see it too, like, in his face and the other ones. He does, even just sort of standing there, has some sort of, like, slant to him to just accentuate even more that, like, he is not himself. He is something else now, which is, that would be a good little touch. And Joe, I don't know if you would think about, if you made another custom, if you could maybe give him a little more of a slouchy, like, monstrous.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Could be tricky. I mean, especially with the vintage figure, classics, maybe a little more, but I see what you mean. But you're right. I think, I guess I didn't pay attention to, you're right, like even the other panel where you see the Comet Warriors all turning into their rock form, by the way. And then you see He-Man, and he is, again, slightly hunched. But as you know, the Comet Warriors, they are a peaceful people. They don't want to fight. But, well, I mean, Stondar knows something has to be done to help his friend. And that's when he's going to call out to the power of the Sun Rock. And it's, so you wonder how long the time elapsed, because you just seen He-Man, but you see it going to, like, Snake Mountain, but it's like, okay, but now He-Man's already at Snake Mountain, you know? It's like it's quick, but this is something that can help him and bring him, I guess, back to normal and out of his, you know, state of, you know, monstrous slime, you know, slave. But as you see, you got Skeletor, you know, as Terrorclaw Skeletor, his spells are doing nothing. He-Man just punches, you know, I like that when he punches right there, you see all this shit just flying. And again, so aggressive and mean, but he knows even he shouldn't be doing this. He's under a spell, but he knows this isn't right. He still can't kill or probably defeat Skeletor, even though I thought, hey, if he hit him right there, did he kind of touch him? So that was me being the ass back then, saying he touched him, he should have sapped his power. But
well,
there's a difference
in punching someone and then, like, touching them and keeping your hand there to sap the power out of their body. I guess I want to talk about the Sunrock, because this was kind of the issue ultimately that I had. I'm like, well, couldn't there have been another way? Is the Sunrock used at all in anything else going forward? Is there anything more you can tell me about the Sunrock to make me, I guess, feel better about the last half of this comic?
I don't know if it will make you feel better. I thought, and I'm probably wrong, I thought it was in one of the Masters of the Universe magazines that they did a reference to the Sunrock, or was another rock, because I can't off the top of my head remember how many times that thing was used. I mean, I know it's just definitely memorable here, and it even seems sentient, if you will, because it, like, speaks to, like, you know, when you'll get to the next pages, you're going to see it'll speak to He-Man. So this energy has, like, a life force to it, but I'll wait and see if it popped in the chat room if somebody else said they remembered this used a lot, because I honestly didn't. And wouldn't that suck if it was like, hey, that was something that we talked about, you know, 3 months ago?
You know what? It honestly would not surprise me at all. Another message from Tyler, I'm assuming, will be incoming shortly.
Yeah, I could imagine, because like I said, I forgot I had a comic in front of me. That's how bad my memory is. But yeah, now in this, you do see the Sunrock and the power of it coming and viewing, and boom, gets He-Man back to normal. And then, you know, there's always a reason. Anytime they show an item, you know it's meant to be used, because you're seeing the shield from the Flying Fist He-Man in the one panel there. And because then when it gets to the other page and you see it, like, you know, deflecting that slime or stuff, you know, he's talking about it. I was like, I didn't really see that. Sometimes your eyes would pan so quick. I remember when I first read that, I was like, no, they're talking about there's no shield. And then when I went back to the page, I was like, oh, and that dynamic pose, He-Man coming out, he has the shield. It's like, I missed it. But you said this just kind of didn't really do it for you with that Sunrock, correct?
Because it's just like, oh, here's the Sunrock. Oh, it can communicate with He-Man. Oh, by the way, it can teleport him too.
Oh yeah, it did. You're right.
Just kind of like, it just seemed. I'm like, there could have been something else that you guys could have done to work around that.
Do you think maybe it was just their way? Because, you know, obviously the Comet Warriors couldn't have got there quick enough. They're peaceful people, so this is kind of their way of having something be done, like they're helping, but they're still
I mean, maybe so, and Fedmon says that there's nothing else with the Sunrock until the classic bios.
Okay, good. I didn't, like I said, it just didn't resonate. I didn't remember seeing it much, and I still thought I seen something in one of the magazine stories, but that might have been something
else. They could have done a thing, because I imagine that they are a group of people, so there has to be more than just 3 or 4 of them, right? There's got to be, like, a community full of these guys.
Why
not just have something where, like, all right, they kind of stake out the deal, and then they all roll down the hill at once and help, like, attack, and then find another way to break He-Man out of it as well. I feel like just this all-being rock that can communicate with people, it's a little silly to me.
Do you think they just couldn't figure out maybe another way? Like, do you think maybe they thought, okay, it would have been too cheap for He-Man just to, with his will, because obviously he still didn't want to do bad, like, to break the spell, and they figured, well, what could the Comet Warriors do to get that slime off He-Man?
Well,
so they had to think of some device, something to do
what
it.
What if when he goes to destroy Skeletor, what if Skeletor thinks in his head, oh, well, maybe I can do something to turn him on to my side, and then I can use him against Hordak, but in doing so, like, actually somehow changes He-Man back to normal.
Counteracts?
I don't know.
I mean, you're right. I guess they had to think of something. It was, like I said, I guess it's a quick, kind of a cheap way of doing it. I mean, still cool, but I mean, I guess you're right. I would have myself preferred to see a lot more of the Comet Warriors in action, but again, they've always liked to keep rehashing and restating that no, they're peaceful. And but as a kid, you know, even with the comics, I still like to have them attack. I'd put them in that form, and I just kind of, well, stupidly, I would. I'd bowl them into the enemies, you know, because that's basically all I could think of them doing. But I don't know, I figure these characters that are almost indestructible, and when they go into their, you know, form, their rock form, they can just start, you know, getting a lot more energy and charging. And but I figured if they're almost like indestructible, God, is that why they wanted them to be peaceful? You figured, okay, they can't be stopped then. I don't know. Yeah. You know, it's like there's always a balance.
Well, it's like, well, it's like we see here.
To stop. Hey, let's just have them not fight.
Yeah, well, like you see here, they have their dazzling armor that is capable of, like, blinding their enemy. Why weren't they using that to begin with either, you know?
Yeah, because they came with a shitty, or I'm sorry, they came with a crappy kind of little gun thing.
You can't take it back now, Joe.
Yeah, I guess I can't. But no, the thing I hated about the figures, honestly, was that stupid gun. There's this little gun attachment that would stick into their chest, or kind of think it even went in their hand or something. But maybe that was their way of, like, saying, you know, like, in the books they do this, but as the toys they do that. It's like, well, you gave them a gun as a toy? You figured they could do something? But you're right, they have this radiant light that's blinding, distracts them or something, and okay, now you guys are doing something. You're just turning these gigantic boulders, and you're taking care of business. But as we know they can float and they can fly like comets. I felt like they sometimes got the short end of the stick. Maybe they got played so stupid in these comics sometimes that maybe that's another reason maybe people didn't like them. Maybe they thought, oh God, these guys seem real dorky in the comics, even though the figures were cool as hell for me. I don't know. You know, is that, like I said, again, a balance that I don't know what a... I'd love to know what people in the chat room, again, what they thought. Like, if they really... Did they enjoy the Comet Warriors a lot as a kid? Did they hate them? Did they come to love them later on? But, I mean, I liked them. I wish they would have had just a different portrayal slightly in the mini-comics.
It's like, why give a character so many ways of either defending itself or attacking someone if they absolutely have to, and yet you want to just kind of hide them behind we're peaceful people and we don't do that.
Yeah, because, like, don't get me wrong, they will try to have them, yes, they'll eventually stand up for themselves in their stories here and there, but it's like, I just always thought it'd been better if they could have just always been, like, from the get-go, with Mechanek, Buzz Off, Moss Man, anybody, when it's time to fight, I'm going to be there to fight. But, quickly, I'll just, at least, because I did ask a question to the chat room. We're pretty much, I think, at the end of that mini comic, which it's a good mini comic. I love it. Some things, sure, like you said, could have been changed, but like Gary Buchanan said, he thought they were too much like Rock Lords. Rock Lords, I have one over. You're like, here
oh,
we go.
Oh, great.
Joe,
he's going to bend down and pick one up off the floor, ladies and gentlemen.
But I can't. I don't want to touch it. It is over on the floor over there. So they're a little more detailed. Zentron said liked them, but didn't love them. I never had an issue with them. I'm going to slowly, and I'm still with you, try to get up, and I'll... don't hit... Oh, shit. I'm backing up. I will not hit nothing, and I'm going to try to grab a Rock Lord, and you keep talking. I will get this. I won't knock anything over. I promise. Oh, shit. Hold on. I'm with you. Keep talking, Nathan. I'm trying to...
I'm at the edge of my seat.
I'm just, hold on, wait, oh, I forget, wait, I could bring this closer to me, hold on, that might help, because I just want to grab this fucking rock, it's ringing, I got it.
This show's a mess.
Oh, son of a... Yeah, just, yeah, because if Joe's going to do this, he's going to break everything. Well, the Rock Lords, honestly, I've never seen that, I've heard that a lot. I'm glad you brought that up, Gary Buchanan, because a lot of people did say they felt like they were, like, cheap or a ripoff of Rock Lords.
I just can't believe, what are you laughing about? All things, you just got that nearby, too.
Well, I keep it by the meteorbs, but these things, hell, if anything, meteorbs are more like them, but they go through a lot of, fuck, I haven't transformed this in years. I mean, they go through a lot to go. The Comet Warriors simply just go down and up, but watch me break a Rock Lord live. But I don't, where's this fucking head? Oh, there it is. Okay, hold up. All right, Rock Lords. These are pretty cool, but they go through a lot of transformations. You know, this is almost like more of, like you say, Transformer. Meteorbs could be closer to this, but Rock Lords and Comet Warriors, I never put them similar because Stone Dawn and Rock Iron, you just go boom, down, boom, yeah. Up. But I could see if some people would say that, but I never got that vibe. This is more of a Transformer vibe for the Rock Lords and Same thing, obviously, with Meteor. It's more of a Transformer.
Honestly, I never even really remember Rock Lords. To me, that's one of those. It's one of those things that just way under the radar for me that I don't recall at all.
Yeah, they were cool. But now I'm going to say, well, that's the end of the mini comic. But if you guys had any questions for us, you know, pertaining to the Masters or anything else, shoot them up in the chat room while you do that. I did want to thank Tyler for popping up and let me know that that fucker came with the slime pit.
I'm sure he just sent you that message. And as soon as he hit send, he was just like, dumbass. And then just went back to doing whatever he was doing.
What a dipshit. There you go. Yeah, he gave it to me. I appreciate it. Let's see. Zentron said, Joe, here's an idea for you. Rather than having a trailing power cable for your tablet, get a power bank and use that during the stream. What's a power bank? I don't even know what that means.
What's a power bank? The entire point. Anyway, I got this in the mail the other day. It's a critter, a crite, whatever you want to call it. It's pretty neat looking.
I can't wait to see it because remember I cannot see Nathan until that 30-second delay.
But yeah, no, he looks fantastic. I like it a lot. So I'm just gonna have him sitting over here on the computer tab. It's always nice to get little random obscured figures made from horror movies that no one cares about, and it's.
Oh, there it is. Oh, that's cool. What the heck? Now, what did you? Where'd you get that?
It's, I got it from Amok Time Toys. It's AMOK Toys. So if you guys just look that up, and the cool thing on the box here on the bottom is it says. Critter is a vinyl, hairy, hungry space alien replica for adults 18 and up.
Why did we never get Critters figures? I mean, if anything, we should have got some Critters figures.
We got them now, and that's all that matters.
But it's there's no possibility.
No.
Like that,
he's just a complete, like, just static, but, like, a good hard plastic, good detail. The hair's, like, cool. You can take it and run your hands through it if you want.
And how much you said it was? Did you say 14 or
1999? Yeah, it was
1999. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Price.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing that. That is a cool looking little bastard. All right. Adam Gabbert said, Joe and Nathan, I'll rewind the show at the end just to see what you both of you said about our holiday cards. When I lost connection from Joe, he said, what all things you like that is Master Universe related this year? Well, God, there isn't really anything I can think of.
Anything that has sort of come to light's just been sort of like yeah.
Yeah, like I got the I got those two figures with the ring for WWE or Masters, whatever the fucking thing is. Yeah, I got those two things, and I can see the appeal of them. Meaning, and I know a lot of people don't like them, the look of them, but we'll see when it starts coming out if it just the appeal comes more. But it's kind of like blending the best of both worlds. I mean, you got your vintage style, just basically the height and a certain look. But then you have classics, which are bigger, and they got tons of articulation. And to some fans, that is their definitive collection. They probably will never see anything past that. You know, and I can understand it because it's super detailed. But these ones, it's kind of giving the best of both worlds. It's giving you the vintage look and style with slightly more posability, not as much as classics. So it's not going to always be a super hit with everybody. You know, it'll be a hit and miss, but I'm hoping at least for the success of Masters that when those figures comes out, it can lead to a lot more, I hope, because that's all I want. I want good things to come. But it's almost like what James Etock and some other people said. They're kind of wondering, what is this line, though? When they hear Origins, they thought maybe it'd be a little more from things just all at the beginning. But when you're seeing Scareglow going to be popping up real quick and others that soon, it's like, I could see the kind of just, it seems like it's jumbled and maybe not too clear, but maybe it'll... kick a little more and, you know, get into people's heads.
That's kind of been the way that it's been for a while now. Just no cohesive, concise, like, vision of what they want in the future for the property itself. Like, yeah, you had the classics line come out, but other than your hardcore fan base, nobody knew about it. And they're trying to tap back into that, well, we want to get the general public's eyes back on this. Oh, hey, I remember that. And once again, goes in all the different directions. You either go like full stop. We got to get the casual fans back in with the risk of alienating the hardcore fan base. Oh, I already have this. I already got in a complete vintage collection. why do I need these? It's all, it's all so bad. I mean, I can see what you're... that Tyler didn't want to talk about it anymore.
That's how it's
been this year. All the new stuff's so bad. It's just starting to run everybody away. I don't know.
It does. It can piss a lot of people off. I mean, the thing is, what I'm hoping at least with Masters Universe Origins, when it does come back to stores, is unlike Classics, which was an online exclusive, thing to buy, you're right, the casual fans who, let's say, are He-Man fans, but maybe aren't super hardcore, they never had that opportunity to even know these figures came out. I still, and I know you have, and anybody here can say it, all these groups I'm in, I still see people saying, I never knew these things existed. They didn't know about the Classics line. And some like them, want to collect, some think, and that's their prerogative. But what I'm hoping is those fans who didn't know about an online thing could have maybe that moment with their kids or themselves being in a store, and bam, they see Masters of the Universe back in stores. Like, what the hell? So to them, this will probably be the newest thing they've known or seen in years. And then for people like us, maybe we like it, but then others might say, I don't want those smaller figures no more. I don't like it because they don't have as much articulation and detail. And I understand it, but I'm hoping it could bring a craze back, because you can't tell me there's only like 5,000 He-Man fans and those only fans that collect classics. There's about 5,000 of them. You know there's got to be more, but something's got
to
bring them back.
Well, that's the hope, that you want it all to succeed and bring more and bring people in and get people excited about it again. Like, I, with the Origins line, I look forward to, picking up some of those. I'll probably get them, because yes, I do have a handful of vintage figures that I've gotten from flea markets and things over the years, but it would be kind of nice to actually jump into a line and start from the beginning, because I missed the boat on Classics like an idiot. I should have jumped into it, because when Tyler was getting them, I was looking at them, I'm like, oh, they look cool. And every time I would go to his house, I would look at them all standing there, or he would have new ones that he got in the mail that are like there in the floor about to be taken out and put on the shelf, or he's got them posed but not on there because he's got to make room for them. Every time I would look at them, I'm like, these look really awesome. I should probably start buying these. And I kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And then,
and now they got super expensive. And that's the thing. Now they are very pricey. Even the ones that you didn't think would be are super expensive. I mean, even the most bizarre thing, all that overstock that they had that they sent to Big Lots years ago, the ones that were ended up being $10, even those are up now. I was like, damn. So that's the thing, is now that social media has gotten a little hotter, things are starting to get into people's heads a lot quicker and more. So this line where this is expensive, I think that, people will know about the Origins and they'll jump right into it just in case things could skyrocket. But at $14.99, you really can't beat that price. I mean, that's on par, if not lower, than a lot of figures out there when you go to the stores. Not all figures are $14.99. You go and there's things that are $19, $29, $34, especially when you get to some of that horror shit.
Yeah, it's hard to collect figures these days, because I got Sam from Trick or Treat, the ultimate figure, and that thing costs like $30, and I'll move the camera over here. You can see him just kind of sitting there on my computer tower. But yeah, like it doesn't matter. Like,
and he's a cool
figure. He's the same price as like a Jason Voorhees NECA, and the sizes of those figures are different, so you would think that he would be cheaper, but he's not, because they just have a base price.
And they gave him a lot of accessories, though.
They gave him a ton of stuff, but still, it's not cheap collecting these days
So when you hear $14.99, I'm thinking, wow, that's a price I can deal with. So, well, like I said, here's crossing our fingers and hoping it can lead to a lot of better things. But well, let's see what we had in the chat room while we did that. Gary Buchanan said, any ideas where Rotar and Twistoid's designs may have came from, fellas? I honestly don't know, but I think Fedmon said, Gary, check out Battle Ram blog. He's on YouTube and He-Man.org. He does a lot of that researching of the stuff, the original designs and things, where it came from. So maybe, yes, hopefully he would know. And Keldor and Gary Buchanan both like that damn critter.
I mean, I was kind of worried about when I saw it on there and I saw the price. I was like, well, that's not too bad. And I saw the size. I'm like, that's a pretty decent size. And then I looked up YouTube reviews, as you do, just to see what it looks like out of the package when someone gets it. I'm like, oh, holy shit, I'll go ahead and pull the trigger on that. And I'm happy I did. It's awesome looking.
Yeah, with not having a lot of Critters merchandise, I mean, you never know. What if that's something that could become very expensive? Because like, I didn't know that. Like me, would have never known it unless you would have said, hey, Joe, look what I got. So picture if, like, I wanted in a year, said, I want that Critter. Oh, now it's $300 on eBay.
And
you know?
That's the hard part, because it's like if you don't pull the trigger when it's new and readily available, you have that tiny little window. If you miss it, then you're going to be kicking yourself for years down the road. There were so many times I would go into like Spencer's Gifts and see like the McFarlane Movie Maniacs line, and I would pass on them. I'd be like, I'll get around to it. And then you look it up on eBay 5-6 years later, people want $100 plus.
And it shows another bizarre thing about that line, because I have every Movie Maniac too, loved them. I remember getting Eve from Species, and then I remember, like, in a magazine, they said, you know, there's a rare variant that has nipples, because the one I had didn't have nipples. I was like, what? Where and when and huh? And, of course, then that's the thing everybody tried to get, and was, like, real expensive. And then years later on eBay, she goes probably, I think, the same price as the nippleless Eve. So,
I'm sure you were just like, you know what, I'm going to just customize nipples on mine.
Show me a nipple. Remember from Scrooge, show me a nipple. All right, Zentron said that thing I was asking, what the hell is he talking about? He says it's a small portable power attachment that you charge up at home, then take it with you to charge a mobile phone or tablet on the move. No, that's the thing of Zentron, and I appreciate that. It's not that this, because this is portable. It's my headset attachment, the wire that goes into my ear. There's not much length to it. It wasn't real long, so when I moved, I hit that cord, and it flipped my tablet, and that's what caused the whole blackout at the beginning. And for those who are wondering that missed, like I said, I'm wearing this mask because my vomit-smelling stink bug Modulok mask from last week's Bean Boozle challenge was thrown away. And I got to make a new one, but I got to wait till I get my car so I go get ink and I can print that shit up.
If you guys missed that, make sure you go to the Beyond Retro channel and check that video out. It was pretty good. I was nervous about it, and yeah, those tasted horrible. But I definitely did way better than Joe did. I am the champion.
He did. I don't know how he ate that. I mean, God, I don't even want to relive that. That was awful.
I've been thinking about some of the, like, just the tastes of some of those, like, all week, and I'm just like, man, how did I do that? Ugh.
Yeah, that, I don't know how you did it, but I did. When we were done with that show, it was about 5 minutes later, went downstairs, I puked that up. So, thanks, Nathan.
Yeah, anytime.
And Fedmon said, Masters of the Universe Classic Bio said that after the Awakening, the Slime Pit grew a slime monster that looked like He-Man. It was set in the Son of He-Man era. Oh, see, I didn't read those bios. See, I wouldn't even have known, but I appreciate that, Fedmon, because I would have been clueless. Keldor said, when we were talking about the figures, because like I said, it's a delay. He's like, I need them for my kids so he can experience the magic of finding them in stores and ripping them open. And see, I'm glad you said that, Keldor. That is a thing. You know, it's like, not just for us. It is to hopefully give that magic to kids. You know, that we loved going down the aisles. You know, I've said that millions of times, Tyler, people here, that when you went into those aisles and you'd see the new He-Man figures and that red rock and the burst and just the giddiness, you know, you felt like you're
that
finding treasures.
That instant excitement of knowing you're going to find something really good, especially if you don't own any of them yet and you just kind of keep going through. It's like, I don't have this one. I don't have that one either. Yeah, that's
right.
That's sorely missed. I don't really get that feeling anymore. I mean, it is nice to sometimes walk into like an FYE or when I go to Walmart or Target and actually be like, oh, wow, that, you know, some scalper hasn't come in here and already bought all of these. That's a nice feeling.
We don't have that FYE around here no more. We used to have them, and now all that good stuff that pops up, no chance for me to get it. But I remember the FYE. Yeah. But, yeah, it is. Sometimes you still get that cool feeling, and maybe it will return. Let me see. Grimbot said, seeing that Mattel said they'll be doing some revisions on the figures for the 5.5-inch, I didn't know that. He said, hopefully they'll make actual improvements instead of just making more odd choices. I didn't know they were going to be doing changes, but I'm curious to see what they might be talking about. Let's see, Zentron said, I know things are going to finish soon, but I'm going to have to bow out. Okay, good night, Zentron.
Zentron's got a blowout.
I mean, bow out, and that was probably about 10 minutes ago with our delays. Grimbot said he wants $10 and less. Hey, I feel like I'd like that too.
If we could get figures for about $10, I'd be all over that. But nah, they can't do that anymore, and it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Well, I think the only thing I've ever really gotten recently has been some Jason figures, and that might have been it.
Did you have any luck finding that Pamela Voorhees from Part 3? Oh, wait.
No,
wait,
you know what pisses me off?
Because the car thing, you probably didn't make it out there this week.
Yeah, I couldn't go, so it probably was there, and then it sold out, and so, well, there you go. And plus, I don't even know if I'd be able to afford it, because it's probably going to be a $30 to $40 figure. And you know one more thing before we wrap this up that pisses me off, speaking of Pamela Voorhees, they had a special San Diego Comic-Con exclusive of Pamela Voorhees not looking like the dead one, as you know, you showed me, her and with Jason. It was in a two-pack, and it was a little boy Jason, where they had the cloth outfits. That was an exclusive to that damn convention. You can't get that sucker cheap now. Like, you go to eBay, it's like goes from 180 to 400, depending on the condition. I'm like, that sucks, because I always wanted to have a figure of little boy Jason, because I have Pamela Voorhees' figure, but never Jason. The old Pamela Voorhees, the one from the two-pack with – or not the two – yeah, I think it was a two-pack with Jason Voorhees with Sackhead and Pamela. It came in a two-pack, I think, years ago with the rotting – with the mother's head table.
Cheap either. But Graham, too, was talking about the big lots thing with the 10 and less.
Oh, yeah.
He said some of them were just $5.
Yeah, oh, Grim. Well, that's the thing. When I went in my areas, none ever were, because I bought them out. I bought everyone because I used to offer custom. Yep, they were just $10 right on the nose. And I flooded out. I had a stack of Adoras, a stack of Mossmen, a stack of Vicrons. Or is it fucking Vicron?
I could just see Joe walking in there with like a big old sack of change. He'd be like, I want them all. And they're like, sir, that's only $5. I want them all.
Hell, I mean, back then, that's when I was having more money, and then I was using them for customs. But I did really, I waited for every one, and not to be an ass, I did buy every single one I could. But it still didn't matter. They kept getting more, and the shelves were flooded with Adora and Mossman mostly. It was always Adora and Mossman and a couple little, I think, Bose. Bose was there too with Seahawk.
That's back so when that was back funny. When Joe was stripping at the local Chippendales.
That's right. I had that little extra spending
back in his
money.
Prime,
so,
but then you know he had that terrible accident one night, and he had to retire.
Yeah,
Joe, this probably isn't the appropriate place to ask you this question, but if you were to be a male stripper, what would your stage name be? I don't have wrestling trivia this week again, so there's my question for you, Joe.
I don't fucking clue. What a put on the spot. I couldn't even think about that. I don't know. You got me stumped there. I can't think of any names. I don't know.
Well, I feel like it's right there in the thing. You're just Majo Locke. And you're wearing the mask and
Majo. Oh, okay, Majo Cock. Hey, how about that? The man of many wieners.
Was there anything you would... Majo Locke, not Majo Cock. There we go.
Right, so, well, there... Okay,
show's
off
the rails. Let's go ahead and wrap it up.
Yeah, definitely. So I hope you guys enjoyed it this week. Sorry about that little beginning snafu of me knocking over the tablet.
Yeah, now I gotta go edit that.
And
thanks, Joe.
I thought the stream was just going to be done after that, because my screen, when it fell, it went black. I was like, well, there, I just ruined the whole show. But thank God it didn't. So I'm glad you stuck around. You guys hung in there. We'll be back next week, of course, with some more topics. Hope you guys did enjoy this episode. And I think I shouted everybody out. I hope I did. But like I said, we do it different now, to where I try to get everybody at the Q&A part at the end of the show. But if you like this, make sure, if you're new to the channel, you like, subscribe, share, ring the bell so you can always get notified when we go live. And until next time, have a powerful day.
My stage name would be, well, I want to preface this by saying I would be wearing medieval armor when I went on the stage, and my name would be Sir Loin.
Sir Loin.
See you guys next week.
See you, Sir.